Chapter 14, verse 23 of the book of Acts. When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. After they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Let's pray. Father, as we look into the Word today and this age-old conflict between law and grace, I pray that you'll give me guidance and direction as I speak. May the Holy Spirit be the teacher. Feed us through the Word today and equip us for what we're going to face in life, O Lord, and make us ready witnesses for you and able witnesses to convince the gainsayers. We pray for your help in this service and for your healing for the sick. And we pray, Lord, you'll be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at this, and Barnabas and Paul are en route to return to Antioch after their missionary journey. It's been about a year of time that has passed since they left Antioch and started traveling into Asia Minor, the area today known as Turkey, and spreading the gospel message to everyone who would believe, but directly going to, with specific intent, to the Gentile people rather than just to the Jews of the synagogue. Imagine the stories these missionaries could tell. Could you imagine Paul and Barnabas coming on Sunday night to report to us who have been supporting them, and they show slides up here on the brand new screen that'll come down automatically whenever we get the projector fixed? And they would show slides of where they've been and the people that have been saved and the churches that have been started. The Bible says they ordained elders in every church. Multiple churches were established while they were on this journey for 1 year. But they weren't without conflict. They had to tell the whole story. Many were saved. Churches were established. God was glorified in great ways. But they had difficulty from the Jewish people themselves. Paul and Barnabas are Jews, and now they are finding that their own people, when they would go into the synagogues, would give them an audience to speak. But as soon as they started preaching of Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead and how Christ is the Messiah, they would reject that message when they saw the following of the Gentile people that were so ready to receive this message. The Jews were envious of this crowd of people, and so they turned against the apostles. God even delivered the apostle Paul from death. Could you imagine a missionary stand up here saying, now while I was on the journey, I was preaching the gospel to everybody, and churches were getting established, and the Jewish people got angry, and they came and stoned me and drug me out of the city and left me for dead, but God raised me up. And I stand here before you today to tell the story. Imagine that kind of thing taking place. And this church at Antioch is sitting listening to the apostles as they tell the stories of all that's taken place. They had encountered a group of idolaters who they had opened door with them because God caused a miracle to take place and healing took place. And in this miracle, these idolaters began to look at the miracle coming from these men instead of coming from the God that we worship. That's a problem today still, that people think these fellows that are on TV that hit people in the head and break their canes and jump them up out of wheelchairs and all that kind of stuff, that kind of stuff has any reality to it whatsoever. That is nothing more than a carnival sideshow taking place, my friends. They may say that it is something to generate faith in people, But it has been proven over and over and over again to be nothing more than phoniness. But a real miracle of healing took place, and so these idolaters wanted to worship the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. They wanted to make sacrifice to them. And then when they told them no, not to do this, and tried to explain the truth to them, these idolaters listened to the Jews who were stirring up strife, and they were ready to kill the apostles instead of worshiping them. In chapter 15, after they'd been back here for a long time, possibly as much as a year again has transpired, they're in Antioch, they're preaching and teaching the people here. You remember it was here the disciples were first called Christians. And this church is strong, and it has Barnabas and Paul in their teaching. But some men come in, chapter 15, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. These certain men came in teaching that you had to become a Jew in order to be saved, that you had to go through circumcision and keep the law and the commandments and the rituals and all these things. The Gentiles had no history with that. They knew nothing of those things, as the Jews had grown up in the Jewish religion understanding these things. They're teaching these Gentile converts, you've got to now convert to Judaism or you can't be saved. The battle continues to this very day between law and grace. Paul, who is a Jew and was a Pharisee himself before his conversion to Christ, he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. Now he understands these things and he's seeing what God has done among the Gentiles, and he's declaring that they are saved by grace through faith and that alone. And many are receiving that, and many are understanding that. But these Jewish Pharisees won't turn loose of their legalism and their law. Keep your bookmark here with me in Acts 14 and turn over, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Many of you could quote this passage. Verse 8 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He makes it very clear to the Ephesians here, you cannot be saved by works, you cannot be saved by the law, you cannot be saved by your own efforts of the flesh, but you are to work because you've been saved. That is an evidence that you're saved. What you do for God, the sacrifices you make, the changed life that is demonstrated, the work you do for God, the faithfulness you exhibit for the Lord, is an evidence that you've been saved. You don't do that in order to get saved so that you would earn salvation, because then the flesh could boast that I did it my way. Had a few entertainers that have sung that song, haven't they? I did it my way. I'll tell you what, they didn't go to heaven their way. If they went to heaven, they went through the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Him, not their own works and their own efforts. Not their donations or not anything of that matter. You cannot buy salvation any more than you can earn salvation. It must be received as the gift of God that we could not earn or deserve ourselves. Writing under the inspiration of God, Paul wrote to these believers at Ephesus and declared very clearly that the works is an evidence of salvation, not what you do in order to be saved. To be saved by grace, the word grace is unmerited favor, undeserved gift. Christ is the gift of God to us to be saved. If you have Christ, you have salvation. If you have not Christ, there is no salvation. Now, this is a key to understanding all religions of the world today. This is a key to understanding where so many go astray, where denominations today are in error with the Word of God and are teaching error to people if they put conditions on what you must do in order to be saved. They are adding works to grace. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear, if it is of works, then it's all of works. If it is of grace, then it's all of grace. You cannot mingle the two. We receive the gift of God in salvation. We cannot work to earn the gift of God in any way. We could never do enough, never be worthy, never accomplish anything. I could lay down my life today if a robber came in here and pointed a gun to steal the offering, and I stood up and he shot me dead rather than you folks, and you escaped. That could not earn me salvation, because I am a sinful man in my flesh, and that flesh is not acceptable to God. I'd be going to heaven if that happened today by God's grace, because I have been saved by receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. These Jews were teaching the Gentiles to become their proselytes, so they would gain sway over them. They would become their teachers. They would teach them to follow all the Jewish rituals and traditions and in order to be saved. Still have your bookmark in Acts, but turn over to Romans. Back just a little bit from Ephesians. In Romans chapter 3. I get excited when I am speaking about those that teach anything that deters from how a person can be saved. When people lead people astray, here we're talking about the souls of men trusting religion to save them rather than trusting Christ to save them. And I get upset with those that would teach that and lead people astray. Chapter 3 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing then it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith." Justification comes by faith, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you've been circumcised or you haven't been circumcised, whether you've ever participated in a Jewish feast or you haven't participated in a Jewish feast, you still must be saved the same way, through faith in the grace of God that He has given. It cannot be of works that we have done. Justification comes by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 of Romans and verse number 1. The keeping of the law, as perfect as a man could keep, cannot earn him salvation. Because he is sinful, his body is tainted, he was born with a sinful nature, and he must receive Christ to receive the new nature of the Spirit of God dwelling within him. But we live in a day where men are still teaching the same thing to people. Their denominations, their groups, their cults, their religions of other type that teach a works type of salvation. That you must earn, that you must give away, that you must do these deeds, that you must follow these teachings in order to reach what they teach is a heaven. They teach often that there are many ways for a person to get there. I want to say to you as clear as I possibly can, my friends, Jesus made it abundantly clear there is only one way for a person to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. He made it abundantly clear. There are those that would teach today that you must be baptized in order to be saved, that you must have faith in Christ and be baptized. And they would teach, no matter what your faith is, that if you haven't been baptized, then you haven't been saved. Those that teach that are adding works to grace. They're saying that you must accomplish something in order to earn your salvation. And I don't care how many times you go through the baptistry, my friends, that doesn't wash one sin away, because the blood of Jesus Christ is what washes sins away. That is a symbol, that is a form, that is a ritual that God established for believers after they're saved to be obediently identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. There are those that teach we have to believe on Jesus and keep the law, including the Levitical diet, or you cannot be saved, and keep the Sabbath, or you cannot be saved. My mother, when she was up at Ballantyne at the other assisted living home before she went into the nursing home, had a roommate that was a Seventh-day Adventist. She got Mama all confused. Told her she couldn't eat pork, you know, or she's going to hell, and stuff like that. I want you to know I'd be glad to eat some bacon right now in front of you. Wouldn't bother me one bit. It's been sanctified when I ask the blessings of God upon it. And that won't keep anybody from going to heaven. But there are those that teach that. And by teaching that, they're adding works to grace. And that's not grace alone. It's not Jesus and keeping the law. It's Jesus. He's the only one that can give you the strength to keep the law in any special way. Those that teach the Sabbath day. But the disciples taught the Gentiles to meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, as Jews, they continued often to go to the synagogue on Saturday and meet with their brethren and listen to the teaching of the Word and speak the Word to show them Christ as Savior. But it wasn't long in their doing that, after being beaten and stoned and all that sort of thing, they turned completely to the Gentile nations of people to spread the gospel of Christ. You're not saved by keeping Sabbath. That's not taught anywhere in the New Testament. We're saved by grace through faith, and that alone, not by keeping a day. Now, should we be faithful to the Lord on Sunday, His day? Absolutely, of course. That is an evidence you are saved, not in order to get saved. Now, sometimes I wish I could change that. Not really, but because I know the truth. But, you know, I'd like to have something to hold over y'all's head to get you to come to church all the time. Be faithful, you know. You know, you don't come on the Sabbath, you're going to go to hell. Well, this isn't the Sabbath, friend. This is Sunday. The Sabbath was yesterday. We missed it. Seventh day of the week. Saturday, first day of the week, Sunday. It was on the first day of the week Christ arose from the dead, and so the disciples began to meet on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians says you're going to give an offering, you've got to do it on the first day of the week. I guess all those that obey the law, they don't get to collect any money, because they're doing it on Saturday. The Bible says do it on Sunday, the first day of the week. Let every man lay by him as God hath prospered him. There are those that teach you have to go through steps. You have to repent one day, and then you have to believe on Jesus, and then you have to get baptized in water, and then you have to speak in tongues, or you don't have salvation, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. Some of them teach you can be saved without having the Holy Spirit. But the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 8 that if you do not have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You can't be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit in this age in which we live. That was an initial sign to these unbelieving Jewish people that the Gentiles had received Christ in the same way they had received the Spirit of God. And therefore, they should be received into the church. But the devil uses this today to cause church splits. The battle between law and grace, adding something of works to the teaching of salvation. There are those that follow that and get led astray. Those cults that deny the Scriptures. Turn over in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 with me. Galatians chapter 2. I think I got time for this. Before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 2. take my coat off. Maybe my glasses won't fog up that way. I can see what I'm doing. Galatians 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That just shot a hole through about four denominations' doctrine and teaching right there. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If a man could be saved by keeping the commandments, Christ would not have had to die for us. The commandments are to teach us Christ had to die for us because we cannot be saved without his death, burial, resurrection, and our faith in him. Salvation is a gift of God, not a reward for us to earn. Secondly, Paul and Barnabas travel up to Jerusalem back in Acts. Now you can just stay here in Galatians. We're going to look at another passage. They travel up to Jerusalem to get a ruling from the apostles in Jerusalem. The early church at Jerusalem was very large, where the apostles were. It had a strong sway of having closeness to God. So they decided to go meet with them and get a ruling on this thing. So when they got to the elders in chapter 15, verse number 4, they report all God has done. And then verse 5, there are certain Pharisees, the Bible says, who believe. These are Jews who have received Christ, but they're still holding on to the teaching of the law. And here is a tremendous problem in churches, and that is, it's not unsaved people who are following false doctrine. It's people who believe that are leading people astray on what the Bible teaches. And how dangerous that is for a church to have that happen. The church has to go on the defensive. It has to have strife and difficulty. Evangelism will cease. Churches don't grow when they're splitting and having trouble and there's animosity. And as Paul and Barnabas were doing in Antioch, strong disputation and debate going on between. Churches don't grow from that kind of thing. They grow from love and kindness and the preaching of the gospel and ministering to the souls of men and spreading the gospel message among the unsaved. Now we kind of have an understanding of those who are not saved following some false teaching or other religion. We hope to share the truth with them and see them get saved and see them get converted. I was one of those before I was 25 years of age. My wife and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. It does hurt your feelings, forgive me. I saw a movie years ago when I was a young man. George C. Scott was a hospital administrator. And it had a whole lot of stuff in it, you know, shouldn't be watched, but back then I was lost. And this man came into the hospital to get a physical because he was going to become a missionary. And they misdiagnosed him, and they put him in the wrong room, and they put the wrong name band on him, and they chopped out one of his kidneys and damaged the other one, and he'd just come in to get a physical. And it was about how hospitals can have all those things happen, and they're showing them all happening at the same time, you know. And so he's talking with the daughter of this man. She says, "We really didn't want much religion, so we went to the Methodist church." What? Here I sat in the theater. I was a Methodist. And they said, you know, we didn't want much religion, so we went to the Methodist church. She said, but my daddy got to attending these Bible studies and started speaking in an unknown language. and said he decided that he found out what that language was, and they believe it was a dialect of some Indian tribe. So he wanted to become a missionary to that Indian tribe, thought God was sending him to that Indian tribe. So they put him in the hospital to get a physical so he could go, and they chopped out one of his kidneys and damaged the other and reduced him to a coma and almost killed him. But you know, that stuck in my brain that Hollywood believes if you don't want much religion, then you go to Methodist Church. And I thought about that a little bit. You see, we were Methodists because we wanted to go to a church where they didn't teach against drinking, where they didn't teach against my lifestyle that I was living, that I could go to church on Sunday and have a little church but still live any way I wanted to all week long. That was what I was doing before I got saved. But when I got saved, God turned the light on, friends. I began to understand things I didn't understand before. And it wasn't that one day when I stood before God, maybe all my good works would outweigh my bad works so I'd be accepted and get to go to heaven. That is what I was being taught and what I believed. But my friends, you'll die and go to hell believing that. Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins, and if I receive Him as my Savior, all my sins are washed away, never to be remembered against me again. It is not by my efforts and works and hopes that it'll weigh out one day when I stand before God. Pharisees were separatists and legalists, so this doctrine appealed to them, and they hung on to it. Thirdly, in this text, in Acts 15, Peter stands up to speak. Peter is very popular among the Jews, just like Paul has become very popular among the Gentile nations of people. And Paul has previously rebuked Peter to his face because as they sat with the Gentiles who'd been saved, and the Jews came to the church, Peter separated himself from the Gentiles to associate with the Jews. And Paul rebuked him for this to his face, the Bible says. So what in the world is Peter going to have to say? If you're in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, if you look there. Speaking of this, he said, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was to Peter, for he had wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, and the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." So now Peter stands up to speak. What's he going to say? Is he angry with Paul? Is he going to side with the Jews? Well, Peter's heard both sides of these issues because God sent him in Acts chapter 10 and 11, the Bible tells us, to open the door of the gospel to the Gentile peoples at Cornelius' house. He saw them saved. He saw them receive the Spirit. He saw that they should receive baptism and church membership the same way as the Jews because God had dealt with them in the same way He had dealt with the Jewish people at Pentecost. And this was a sign unto him. So Peter becomes Paul's best friend. He stands up for grace through faith as salvation, not by becoming Jewish and keeping the law. And the disciples, the elders, the apostles, gather together to discuss this thing and to reason about it. These Gentiles that Peter went to had no teaching of the law. He didn't go there to circumcise them. God didn't say, "Go down and circumcise those people." He said, "Go down and preach the gospel to them." And he went down and preached the gospel to them, and they got saved. And they didn't get saved because they started keeping the law, because they started keeping the rituals, the feast days, and the new moons, and all of that. They got saved because they believed on Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead. And Peter saw this with his own eyes. Verse 9, he says they were saved by faith, back in Acts 15. Then he questioned, "Why tempt ye God to put upon the Gentiles requirements of salvation that the Jews couldn't live up to themselves. If you're still in Galatians, look at chapter 3, one last passage, verse 19. Show you what the law is for. Why is the commandments given? What is the purpose of it then if it doesn't earn salvation, if people aren't saved by keeping it? Chapter 3, verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was our schoolteacher, to show us where we failed, to show us where we did wrong, to show us why we need a Redeemer to save us from our sins. It was to teach us to trust Christ for our salvation, not the keeping of the law and the commandments. The evidence that's been shown is in changed lives of believers, not in the keeping of laws and rituals. To add conditions to salvation of grace through faith, adding anything else is to add works to salvation, and God will not justify or grant righteousness by the keeping of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That battle was going on then. It's still going on 2,000 years later. People still haven't grasped what the Bible simply teaches of how to be saved. You see, salvation by grace through faith is so simple. We don't feel worthy for that. We feel like we've got to pay a price. Feel like we've got to accomplish some great thing in order to earn salvation. But the truth of the matter is, my friends, there's nothing that could ever make us worthy. There's nothing we could ever do that would earn us salvation because we are tainted with sin. But faith in Christ receives salvation as a gift and cleanses us of all our sins and grants us the righteousness of Christ who now lives in us.